Your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO, and it is time for the Corporate Farmer Program. I'm Tim Fleming, and we have Chad Hansen with us on our KGLO live line. Chad, how are you?
Not too bad. How about yourself, Tim?
Well, we're doing good. Yeah, it's, you know, typical springtime kind of weather right now. Mm-hmm. We've got, some rain, which I know the farmers are all excited about, too. That's always good. Get, you know, replenish some of that ground moisture and things. And, the rain beats the white stuff at this point in time.
I know. I was kind of thinking about that this morning as I pulled in and, you know, looking at the snow basically, you know, last week with the vehicles and stuff and parked out in front of our office and then thinking, man, it's amazing how much has changed in a week's time with all but just a few little, I guess, piles that left a melt on the north side of maybe some buildings or something or outside of some parking lots here in town. It's great, and like you said, back to some more spring weather. Obviously, March, we don't really think of those 60-some, close to 70-degree days. It's more of this kind of wet, rainy, you know, kind of overcast, gloomy days for the most part. So either way, you know, it's kind of nice, and maybe this rain now will kind of clean up some of the stuff that winter tends to leave us behind.
Oh, that's for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. How about you? You got to be, you know, I mean, normally into March, you're really on the grind. And you and mm-hmm. I were visiting before going on the air. I mean, some dates being pushed back just a little bit. Obviously, you're still quite busy at your office.
Right. Yeah, still plugging away, cleaning up, maybe like the rain, you know, some of the stuff that tax season leaves behind. And that's kind of where we're usually at this time of the year is, looking forward to that one kind of last date, I guess, of April 15th and making that final kind of push. But, with the news of deciding to kind of move the date back to May, well, normally it'd be 15th, but with the weekend there, how it falls the 17th, that was some interesting news, some things that, our profession has really been pushing for lately. And I know some of the people in Washington had been kind of pushing the IRS a little bit to bump that date back. So that was welcome news. Obviously, still some issues with that. Now they've not committed to moving back the payment date. So they're saying right now that taxes still need to be paid by, you know, April 15th. But we I guess, all kind of assume that that's just a formality and that that'll fall in line. And you know, with Iowa being April 30th, they're kind of haven't really been saying a whole lot, kind of silent on the topic. I think they're waiting for the IRS at this point to take a hard line as far as payment due dates and things before they probably would follow suit in that situation. So, you know, it gives us a little bit more time, and I definitely think that that's something that we needed with just all the uncertainty and issues that the IRS is still having with trying to process returns and seeing, you know, how far behind that they are in filings at this point in the year.
Well, Chad, and I know you and I have talked a lot about this in the last year, for sure, but the pandemic has taught us an awful lot, and practicing some patience.
Mm-hmm.
And flexibility is all a part of that, and
right. We're
seeing it again this year.
Yeah, but we're talking about a government agency that doesn't really have patience or flexibility when it comes to their services provided to the taxpayers. So, you know, we're supposed to be understanding of them, but they don't really want to be understanding of our issues. And, you know, I mean, it is frustrating. There's no doubt for us, for our clients, is they're trying to do their best to get these taxes filed and do it in a timely manner. But, you know, everything that's been coming out as far as the informational returns and stuff to them has been delayed because of computer issues and reporting and probably, quite frankly, lack of staff on the parts of, for instance, some of the investment companies. They've had their furloughs and those types of things with people probably working from home and trying to manage the computer systems and get that all out to the investors so that they can have that information to go ahead and finish their returns. And more often than not, that's the last bit of information we're waiting for. And, you know, I think this is the year where I'm going to say it's been coming for a long time, but, you know, I've always been a proponent of getting things done early and having it taken care of. But, you know, I think from this point forward, this is kind of the camel or the straw that broke the camel's back for me, and that, you know, I think it just makes a lot of sense to wait and not be in a rush anymore. You know, I've seen so many of the 1099s from investment companies that have had to be corrected, not once, but maybe twice. You know, some of the 1099 patronage forms from the co-ops and elevators there that have had to be redone. Obviously, if anybody had unemployment with the state, they got two different 1099Gs on that with the correction to include the federal amount. And then on top of that, now the government changes the rules, you know, after the year's already finished and we're already in the filing season to basically exclude $10,300 worth of the unemployment income that was received. And, you know, Iowa even does something that to me is almost unprecedented, is they pass a blanket rule or law that says that they're going to comply with the federal. So, I mean, they've thrown their hands up, I think, at this point in time, too, and said, you know, we can't just keep trying to revisit all these things and make all these changes. We're just going to say, if the federal makes the change, we're just going to accept it and take it as law on our end, too, because, you know, it's just been one of those years where it just seems like about the time that you think that, you know, everything you need to get your taxes finished up, they pass a law, you know, that makes what you've done up to that point not correct. And so, you know, it's just been a real fun year on this end of things, I'll say that, at the least.
Yeah, Chet, I can hear that twinkle in your voice.
A little frustration, maybe. You know, it's like this unemployment thing, man, has just made me shake my head because, you know, like I said, they exempt that first income, at least if you're under $150,000 of adjusted gross income for your household. But, you know, what are you going to do with all these returns that have been filed? So, you know, quickly we run our queries and start to figure out how many have been accepted already by the IRS, how many of them are, you know, still kind of pending. Maybe we're waiting for the e-file authorization to come back from the client, or maybe it just got finished. And so trying to evaluate where we're at in the process, and then, you know, a couple days later, the IRS comes out and says, well, we think we can solve this with our computer system and figure out which returns have already been filed that have unemployment claims and correct it on this end. Well, you know, let's call me skeptical when it comes to the IRS solving our problems for us. You know, especially when it comes to their computer systems that are out of date and antiquated at this point in time anyway. So, you know, I guess we'll see. Maybe I'll be proven wrong for once. But, you know, I think that's where a lot of that sarcasm in my voice is coming from, is I've just been doing this too long to trust that somebody else is going to take care of the issue for me, that we aren't going to be stuck in the end double-checking them and then having to deal with it this summer. And we could have easily just filed an amended return and had it resolved a lot sooner than what it could have been. So, you know, when they still haven't finished 2019 filing season at this point, and we're supposed to trust them that they're going to take care of these issues with 2020. That seems funny to me, but we'll see.
I won't call you skeptical. I'll still call you Chad. but what you're talking about, again, and I always say this to people, but that's why folks are working with an accounting firm, a farm mm-hmm. accounting firm like Corporate Farmer. So you can be the guy that that has to be skeptical and kind of maneuver your way through some of this. I don't want to say minutia, but there's some of that that goes with this.
Yeah, I think first of all, there's the education component of just staying on top of what's all going on and the changes and how that affects you. We've seen that with these stimulus payments and when's the proper time to file based on whether your income is going to be higher or lower in order to maximize those stimulus payments. That's one, big issue that we've had in the last 2 years. And then if you have children that are maybe of that age where they are on the borderline of, having enough income to file and stuff, or getting out of college or out of high school and have started working, when's the right time for them to go off as a dependent? We're just going to maximize what they would get versus maybe the benefits to you of claiming them and still getting maybe a child tax credit or, maybe an education credit if that's the case, if they're in college. So those have been some things that we've had to manage. All these issues, like I said, with the changes mid-season hurry up, slow down, we better wait type of deal to let's see when we get some more guidance. I've had several of those conversations, and I think, one of the things that I'm kind of, struggling a little bit with right now, and it comes into that kind of, be patient type of mentality that we've been talking about, is the March 1 deadline. Quite frankly, I think for me, and my clients, that might be just something that we say is a thing of the past. We talk about the delay in getting all this information out and the difficulty that you're working under to try and get things done by March 1 with our farmers. And, they're almost penalized by getting it done by March 1st because of the fact that the rules change after that date. And so, I think the time has come where it just makes sense for almost every farmer just to go ahead and make an estimate payment by January 15th and push off their due date until April 15th, or in this case, May 17th for this year. It just is too frustrating, and I think it just lends itself to the opportunity of having too many mistakes, whether it's on your end or, like I said, could be an investment or a K-1 or any of these things that are done by another party that you get an amended or corrected, filing after that March 1 deadline, which just causes more frustration as well as cost, right? I mean, nobody on our end is going to do this stuff for free. So in order to get that return amended, now you're paying an additional fee to get, in this case, your 2020 taxes done. So, I can understand, how that's frustrating, for our clients, but, it's also difficult for us just because it takes more time and a lot more energy on this side to get all that stuff done and taken care of before. I mean, obviously our clients, once the weather's good enough, want to get out in the fields and get to work on their job, let alone forget about all of this paperwork that they get to deal with.
Yeah, won't it be fun? I mean, you're not too far away from talking to your clients about that. Get that spring planting going. That's right around the corner. That comes fast.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the exciting part of what we do, and that's the fun part, is kind of this next year's planning. And with, the kind of early spring that it looks like that we may have and ideal, hopefully, conditions to go ahead and get a crop in, that I think there's a lot of excitement out there. And then obviously prices kind of, lead into that a little bit, as most everybody sees some opportunities to have a profitable year and enjoy kind of an outlook that they haven't been able to start the season with in a long time. So, I talk about all these difficulties and challenges and things that we're dealing with on this end, but as far as just kind of moving forward and everything, it just looks like, setting up to be just an awesome year as far as agriculture and stuff, at least in and around north central Iowa.
Yeah, right now everybody's brackets are busted, so they'd like to fill their bins.
Yeah,
instead,
bring me back to reality again now as I talk positive, right? You know, coming off of a big loss yesterday for the Hawkeyes and fans and stuff. I know, not completely change it, but, you know, I did get a text message yesterday after the game, and with my daughter tear in her eyes, you know, that she had decided that maybe she was going to not go the rest of the day of classes. So she was at home kind of, you know, in her sorrows there as she watched Garza and the rest of the players kind of walk off the court, some of them for the last time. So,
yeah,
I know she was struggling even a little last night when I got home that, you know, that she wasn't too happy with the way it all ended and things, but that's the reality of stuff, and we move forward, right?
It's so true. We have to move forward. It is so true. Well, we got the women's teams from Iowa and Iowa State still playing, and let's wish them the best of luck, and we'll smile about that.
That's for sure. Yeah, it should be exciting. I know, you know, ESPN had talked about the Iowa women's team and being one of the most exciting and fun teams to watch and stuff, and so that leaves us something to kind of still catch on TV and on the radio and stuff, and so that's definitely fun, even though, like you said, I won't be worrying about my brackets anymore because I think I'm destined for about last place in the family pool, which maybe that's just talks about how much I get to watch of some of these college teams and stuff, and I'm sure my wife's going to win since she doesn't know anything about basketball and watches about one or two games a year. She's just got it made right there, sitting in first place, I guess.
Oh, well, if she had Gonzaga and maybe Michigan still alive, she might be okay. But hey, Chad, great to talk to you. If somebody wants to touch base and visit with you about how to be a part of Corporate Farmer, how do they do that?
Yeah, just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.
Chad Hansen, great to talk to you. Have a great week.
You too, Tim. Thanks.
You betcha. That's Chad Hansen with us, everybody, on AM 1300 KGLO, and that's our Corporate Farmer program for this week.